What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast with my brother, Ryan.
What's up, everybody?
We have our own mics now. We are not having to share a mic.
Yeah, now we're like sitting across the table from each other, staring at us.
And Max is, as always, just tearing up the flooring in here, so we're just having a great time.
He's just digging the china.
Yeah. Wow, Ryan. What? All right.
That's something people say.
It is, yes. But we're here on Monday night. This is Memorial Day. We've got a lot of, I was about to say science fiction. That's not correct. Medieval.
Just fiction.
Fiction shows to talk about today. We're going to be talking about the Rings of Power, the Amazon Prime series show that just came out this past week. The first two episodes dropped, but we watched it about a week ago now, almost a week ago, at a Cinemark theater with a couple Rent-A-Cops. So that was a fun Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
And then we get into the episode 3 of Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. I don't know what Marina's doing, but...
Yo no sé.
I think she's going to go get a chair. But Ryan, how are you doing? There needs to be a cold open where we...
I'm fantastic.
Just kind of bullshit for a couple minutes.
Gearing up for my last week at work, and then I'm taking my talents elsewhere.
Taking your talents to South Beach?
Actually, no. I'm taking them to Mockingbird.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Should be a good time. Should be a upgrade in terms of...
things. Stress levels.
Yeah, hopefully stress levels.
Everything else.
We'll see. Might not be, but...
Yeah.
We'll see. Things are going well. Yeah.
I see you have your Charmander Funko
prominently displayed on my desk. Yeah.
I like it. I like that it has the sticker on it, because they had a fuck-up where they didn't have the stickers on them.
Oh, yes. It's very cool. I especially like that... did it come with a little case around it, or is that something that you are providing?
I am providing that to you, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
To keep it nice and protected. It
looks great.
With the soft stack pop protector.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes, this is a soft stack.
Is there a hard stack?
There are hard stacks that come for Funko Pops.
I bet they're more expensive.
These are about $2 or $3, and the more expensive ones are about $8 or $9. So,
okay, yeah.
Now I've got my Derek Jeter Funko in a hard stack right now.
Has your Funko obsession slowed down at all in the past week?
Yes, quite a bit. I'm about to sell about probably 40 of them. So
why is that?
Because I've got too many, and those are the ones that I just don't need. So
okay,
that values out to about $850. So gonna sell those off.
Let's just do a big old whatnot stream, buddy.
Yeah, we should
bring them on over and.
We've talked about it.
$3 a pop.
Well, I mean, some of them are valued at like $40 and $50, like my Saved by the Bell Funkos.
No, you'd be better putting those on eBay, probably.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But
I have an eBay account too. If you wanna,
I'll throw some stuff up.
Use the eBay account with 500 positive reviews.
Oh, 500 positive reviews. Would it not be a weird? What's the right word?
What?
I have no idea what I'm trying to say here.
Not relevant.
A weird pivot from Pokemon to Funko's.
I mean, the name of the eBay store is Dead Draw Gaming, so I mean, I'm sure Funko's could fall under Dead, Gaming.
Gaming?
Yeah.
No! Let's do it. I'd like to do Whatnot now, though.
Yeah.
I've hopped off of Whatnot, because that's a...
Because it's fucking dangerous?
Yes, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, it can turn into, like, obsession pretty quickly.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally a platform we should... share our wares on.
Yes.
People have crippling gambling addictions. Perfect.
Anywho, we're back here on Monday. Thank you guys for checking out this episode. We are, as always, if you want to check out some of the stuff that we're doing, we're on Twitter at Furloughed Film. We'll be posting all the Venice Film stuff that's going on right now, like The Whale and the latest Michael McDonough movie. As well as all the drama that's going on with Don't Worry, Darling, which that's been very interesting to follow.
It's actually been really fun to follow.
Yes.
Especially Nick Kroll and Harry Styles making out in the crowd.
Is Nick Kroll in the movie? I had no idea.
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's him and Harry Styles kissing, top tier content for...
You think this movie... I think all this is like just... It seems
marketing.
Like, yeah, this is all just like buzz marketing, like all this shit with Florence Pugh, like, because this movie really seems like not something people would go out and see in the middle of fucking September.
Yeah, no, right? I definitely could see them doing that.
What was Olivia Wilde's first movie?
She did Booksmart.
which is really, really,
yeah, really good movie. Acclaimed.
And like, what happened where she made this movie and it's like a September release? And
well, I think some of that has to do with the fact that it's coming out from Warner Brothers and they've had financial issues, and so literally it's the only movie that they're putting out for the rest of 2022 is this and Black Adam, because they don't have enough money to put anything out for the rest of the year.
Okay,
so like that would make sense that they were like, hey, let's do some viral marketing.
Yeah.
So that, because they quite literally just don't have money to really promote this movie. And Florence, as part of this now, Florence Pugh has said that she's not going to do press for it.
Yeah,
it or just, like reportedly is not going to do press for it. So it,
well,
makes
she didn't
sense.
Do the press conference or whatever for Venice, the Venice Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the other, I guess it was what, Harry Styles, Chris Pine, Olivia Wilde, and some lady who's in it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And like Florence Pugh just wasn't there.
Yeah, supposedly her flight was delayed, but it was like,
Well, yeah, and also her excuse was like she's too busy filming Dune.
Yeah.
Even though Timothy Chalamet has been at Venice Film Festival for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, no, it's complete BS.
Did you see
the video of like Chris Pine just like completely zoning out during Harry Styles giving an answer?
I saw something where they were comparing a picture of him to the guy from Hunger Games, comparing him to
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson's character.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
No, it's a weird haircut he's got going on right now.
Yeah, I really hope this movie bombs. That'd be really great, actually.
Supposedly the ending is wild and is a complete twist.
It actually might be a decent movie. Like I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a good movie, but all the bullshit around it, like Olivia Wilde is just obnoxious. Harry Styles is like obnoxious.
Yes.
Florence Pugh is now very obnoxious.
I still like Florence Pugh. I still remember her days from Little Women. So
yeah, I mean, she's a great actress, but like how stuck up do you have to be? Like, I'm not going to do any press anymore.
I don't know. I don't know anything. I know a little bit about it. I'm not going to say I know nothing about it, but who knows what's actually happening behind the scenes. But if you want to follow us on Twitter at Furloughed Film and on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks, so go follow us there. We'll get video up soon with Furloughed Film Talks on YouTube as well. You can go check us out there.
At some point, I really need to clean this office up.
Yeah, just a bit. And I mean, it's not as bad as my office right now, but
I mean, it's close. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. I like the New York.
Yeah, you like the Mr. Papa Giorgio?
Yes, I very much. That should be on your desk.
Fake
for
ID
sure.
From...
What's this about you going to New Orleans in a couple weeks?
A couple weeks?
Yeah, I heard you...
What?
Marina said that you guys might be going to New Orleans.
She said they're not going.
Oh,
no,
you're
no,
not
no.
Going? Oh!
We're going to Florida.
My bad. Where in Florida are you going?
Doesn't
matter where in Florida you're going. What are you going to do in Florida?
We're going to the beach.
Yeah, okay.
So I completely fucked that up.
This is not Memorial Day. Today's Labor Day. I completely messed that up earlier in the episode.
Yeah, it's definitely Labor Day.
It's
September 5th.
Yes.
The year of our Lord, 2022.
But Ryan's going to the beach, hopefully, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, so. I think we're headed out next Thursday.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Coming back on Sunday.
Cool. So I'll have a aging papusa who's going to get us up at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I was about to say, you mind watching the doggo?
Yeah, thank you for that heads up.
Hey, this is like it's like more than a week heads up, you know. Right. See.
All right.
That
I'm gonna start calling you mom because that's what she would do.
It's what, just like out of nowhere?
Yeah, just be like, hey, we're going out of town. Can you watch the dogs?
I'm kindly asking, and I just fit you ribs, bitch. Really?
This is true. Yes. Really I did get ribs tonight.
Yeah, you guys.
My belly is full, absolutely. Unlike Max's.
His should be full. I mean, yeah, he's you know. He is what he is.
Yes.
At this point, he's pushing 105.
God Almighty! We need to start planning his quinceañera.
We do. Yeah. Screw my wedding. We should plan his quinceañera.
When's his birthday?
April something 4th maybe 8th. It's around there.
That was two different. Like they were within each other within like 5 days, but like.
I'm honestly not sure.
Okay, sometime in April we'll have.
To be fair, when is Yoshi's birthday?
It's May the 4th.
Shut the fuck up! No,
it's seriously, it's May. May the 4th.
You're saying this shit up.
I'm really not, dude. It's May.
And Athens is May
1st. Oh wow!
Yeah.
Little kitties. Okay. Well, man, that's gonna be a popping ass week.
Yeah. That's gonna be fun.
Two dog birthdays and a wedding.
Yeah, we're literally gonna go from having.
That should be like a 2003 fucking indie film.
Now you've given me an idea for a script. First, it was a Matt Smith led football movie. Now it's a Papusa wedding
rom com.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is gonna be fun.
It will. Yeah. Well. Yep. Anyhow,
we're gonna have a bachelor party and then a quinceañera and then a wedding.
Oh, it's gonna be a hell of a fun time for 3 months. Yeah. So, anyways, Max's quinceañera will be in the first week of April.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Good to know.
He's probably gonna need like some animatronic legs or something by then. I don't know. He's,
more than likely.
He's so old.
But Ryan, which fantasy fiction show that is now basically a sequel prequel do you want to hit on first?
So our choices are either The Ring of Power, Rings of Power, The Lord of the Rings,
Jeff Bezos' vehicle.
Yeah, or the third episode of The House of the Dragon. You know what I saw on Twitter that I guess the other day that was really funny? It went like, I forgot how much chiller Lord of the Rings is than Game of Thrones.
Seriously though, oh my god!
So yeah, let's do Lord of the Rings first.
Okay,
because we'll just go in order of how we saw them.
All right, Ryan, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. It's the Amazon series that they spent hundreds of millions of dollars to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's premiered this past Friday with the first two episodes. I'm a very sarcastic person, but I don't know any of the actors' names, and I think it's kind of better that way.
Which is kind of sad because two of the main characters were in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Two?
Yeah.
Who?
Galadriel, the lady elf.
Oh, okay.
It was the one who like talked to Frodo in the woods.
Yeah, okay.
And then I forget the other one, but Agent Smith's elf.
Yeah, it's oh my god.
Him as younger.
Not Viggo Mortensen. Oh my god. Weaving. Not Sigourney Weaver. Hugo something.
The actor?
Yeah. In the Lord of the Rings movie, he was Hugo Weaving.
Okay.
And then this movie, or in this show, I just don't remember the character's name.
It's Elrond.
Elrond, yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not a big Lord of the Rings fan. I've never really gotten into it. One of, like, our good friends, Matt Ash... You know what I mean?
Ashbolt.
Want to pull his full name out there. Really good dude. His wife works with Alexis. He is a massive Lord of the Rings fan. He came over yesterday and was appalled that I didn't have the Lord of the Rings movies on my shelf out of my 400.
You do not own Lord of the Rings?
I don't even own Lord of the Rings. He was betrayed. He looked like, he was like, I have committed a mortal sin against him.
Well, you do have a birthday coming up, so yes. You know, if he listens to the podcast.
Yeah,
go down to the bargain bin.
Fucking movie trading company. Yeah. That's the thing. I'm just not a big Lord of the Rings fan.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm a massive Lord of the Rings fan.
So, to me, going into this, I was like, all right, like, let's just see what this is.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who is very, very much into Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
You didn't seem super excited before we saw this. You were a little bit more tepid. No, you were super stoked.
I was super excited.
It was Matt that was not excited.
I was really excited about this.
Going into this, now have seen both of the first two episodes, where is your excitement level at?
Oh, like, through the fucking roof, dude. Like, everything about, like, this, like, show so far has reminded me of... Maybe, I don't know, it partially reminded me of the first movie,
okay.
The Fellowship of the Ring, and the third movie, The Return of the King. But, I mean, there's so much to talk about in this, but, like, my excitement level is through the fucking roof.
Okay.
And I've, like, always been, like, a super, super huge Lord of the Rings fan. Like, read the book before the movie came out, like, huge into all the movies. Dressed a fucking Legolas one year for Halloween.
Oh, I thought you meant like you went and as Legolas to one of the movies.
No. I didn't go that crazy. There were some people with capes and whatnot on.
I was kind of surprised by that, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. So, no. Okay. So, anyways, my excitement level.
Sorry.
My excitement level for the show at this point is like super, super high. Because okay. I love these first two episodes.
So, let's start off with which of the first two episodes was your favorite?
The first one, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I would have said the second one.
Why?
Because I think it's obviously like with the first one, you have to set up everything. You kind of introduce these mostly new characters, kind of show exactly where you are in the timeline. And then the second one kind of got into the meat and potatoes of what is actually happening and what the crisis is or what is going to be the main conflict of it. I thought that was way more interesting than the first episode.
Yeah, let me read the synopsis of the first episode, then okay. I'll tell you why I thought I enjoyed the first episode more.
Okay.
So for the first one, it's, after the Dark Lord Morgoth was defeated, the elf Finrod died searching for a servant Sauron. Finrod's sister Galadriel vowed to continue the search and finds an abandoned fortress in the northern wastelands of Frodowaith, which bears Sauron's mark. Her companions insist that they return to the elven capital Lindon, where High King Gil-galad proclaims the war against Morgoth's forces to be over. He grants Galadriel and her troop the honor of sailing to Valinor, where they can live an eternal life at peace. In the southlands of Middle-earth, elves watch over men descended from allies of Morgoth. To the disapproval of the others, the elf Arendor has developed a close relationship with the human healer Bronwyn. Together, they discover that the town of Horden has been destroyed, while Bronwyn's son, Theo, finds a broken sword bearing Sauron's mark. Near Valinor, Galadriel chooses to turn back and continue the search for Sauron, jumping from his ship into the Sundering Seas. At the same time, two curious Heartfoots, Nori Brandyfoot and Poppy Proudfellow, discover a strange man inside a meteor crater. Okay, straight up, the reason I fucking loved episode one was the whole sequence where the comet was streaking across the sky.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And the elves were, like, going into the light, into Valinor, and Galadriel, like, jumps off the ship. Like, that whole sequence was, like, textbook, mythical, Lord of the Rings, just pure, like, perfect cinema. It was so, so well done.
And so I completely forgot that scene was the first episode, because that's like, if I look back at like what I remember the most is that scene where she like jumps off the boat. That was one of the coolest, like most kind of like heart pounding, like just you're into it moments of this show. Like I loved that so much. And also the meteor like going in,
and you're not even sure like what's going on. You're like, are these guys just gonna like merge into the light? Like what the fuck is going on here? And it like it kind of even doesn't like, I mean, everyone can interpret it their own way, but it like doesn't even matter, because all the like fundamentally what you need to know is like those elves are leaving Middle Earth. Galadriel doesn't think that her job in protecting Middle Earth and the elves from whatever threat there was is done, and so she like passes up eternal glory, life and peace, to like go back to, you know, this place that isn't her home to fight against like this perceived threat. And they just did it like in the most just breathtaking way possible.
Which then sets up like what I thought was the weakest point of episode two, was basically having to get her back to Middle Earth, which was like just basically her swimming back to the fucking like land.
Yeah.
And kind of having like this side quest thing. And that to me was like the weakest point of episode two.
Yeah.
But for me, and this is why I liked episode two more, if you can, I don't know in this time if you can find it. Well, Elrond.
Okay.
And the dwarf that he goes to meet.
The king of the dwarves.
No, prince.
The prince of the dwarves.
Prince of the dwarves.
Yeah, you're right.
That relationship is so much fun, and there's genuine like friendship there, but there's animosity because it's very interesting, because if you think about the way that elves live, they live for thousands of years. So like for him,
well, they're
for them, like 23 years is like that. It's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas to a dwarf, it's like, I got married and I have a family.
Yeah, it's like a third of their life.
Yeah, like I didn't see you, you son of a bitch. And so it's like, this dwarf is very much hurt that, like, he's not there. He wasn't there for those moments.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the name of the dwarf.
But there's genuine, like, friendship, and there's really good, like, chemistry between the two of them. That, to me, that was, like, the best part of that episode and the best part of the first two episodes. I really enjoyed just that character building and kind of revealing what that relationship was like.
Yeah, that's something I think that, like, so far in the show, they've done a really good job of capturing that, like, the original Lord of the Rings trilogy did so well. It's just, like, the lightness and the, like, camaraderie and fraternal, like, not, you know, not... But just the
fraternal,
the fellowship.
Yeah, fraternal. It's fraternal. The fraternal feeling that these people.
It's not strictly masculine like that though, because it like
well,
it,
I
it,
think you can say fraternal for really any.
Yeah, man, I think woman so.
Relation. It's you know.
We're idiots.
Fuck yeah! I mean, 100%. We're talking about fucking. We're talking about elves and dwarves and fucking half foots for Christ's sake.
Right, we don't need to be.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the whole like elf and human woman relationship thing?
So go back to the synopsis of the first episode where they're talking about they're like descendants of Morgoth or whatever.
Yeah. The Dark Lord Morgoth.
Okay, I completely missed that in the freaking like first episode.
Well, because like
is that in the first 15 minutes that we missed?
It's heavily in the first 15 minutes.
Cool. Cool.
This is it's actually kind of like negligence that we're fucking talking about this without you having seen the first 15 minutes of the first episode.
Fill me in on the first 15 minutes of the first episode.
Basically, it's like a high level overview. It's kind of like
almost like a montage.
Was it Justice League where they do like this montage of like the history of?
Yes,
it was just like that. It was like this like. And it actually kind of like highlighted or followed Galadriel's brother, who we found out had died.
So it's following him,
this huge battle against Morgoth, and like eventually they kind of succeed and chase Morgoth off. But you know, there's Lord Sauron was like Morgoth's most dedicated servant. They're still chasing after Sauron, and for like decades and decades. Galadriel's like troop has been chasing or like following the trail of Sauron.
Trying to find.
But like Morgoth is like essentially defeated and gone, and now the ever present, like the kind of threat that has somewhat like dissipated into history and into time is the threat of Sauron. But even though Galadriel thinks that it's still a major threat, and eventually like I think we saw the fight like in the place where they found Sauron's like mark.
Yeah.
But after that, they see the mark of Sauron in that like dark castle,
mm-hmm.
and then they fight like a snow like troll or something.
Yeah.
And after that fight, the rest of her like company is like, "Fuck this, we're out."
Yeah. Okay. I saw that part. The part where her company was like, "Yo, go fuck yourself. Like, we're not gonna keep doing this."
Right. And so basically, they like returned to the High King of the Elves and basically said, like, look, they all basically said, we're pretty sure that, like, we've done it, Sauron's gone.
Yeah, and that's which is when the king is like, oh, this war's over, like, we don't need to keep doing this.
He thought the war's over, that's why he bestowed, like, the rewards and the honors on them. But really, like, in reality, it, you know, they had real evidence that it wasn't over because they had, like, a mark of Sauron. And they had, you know, like a trail to keep chasing him. But basically, they just threw up their hands and said, like, "Now we're done."
Does that mean that the elves just sent like their best fighters to like to what's the Norse mythology to Valhalla? Basically, like
essentially, yeah.
Like so, those guys like are not. Oh, and they're also screwed if they like realize.
They also said that in the first 15 minutes, they explained how like Morgoth was starting to take over. Middle Earth,
yeah,
and like Middle Earth and Valinor, where the elves are from, are like completely separate, right?
Okay,
there's a huge like sea and like some kind of veil between them.
Oh,
and so all when like Middle Earth just started being invaded by Morgoth, the elves were like, okay, I think we gotta kind of go,
we gotta
like,
intervene,
we gotta help with this because they're gonna come to us. And so like all of the elves then travel to Middle Earth to fight Morgoth. And, like, establish a city and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And so, like, their highest honor is to send, like elves back to Valinor after they've served.
Oh, right. And so like, okay,
they're not, yeah, they're not sending them to Valhalla really. They're sending them back to like their ancestral home.
So they could technically come back.
They could technically come back, yeah.
Interesting. Huh. Okay. So you asked me a question and then we went off on that tirade, but like I don't remember.
Oh, what'd you think of the elf and the human lady? Because I think that was actually the weakest point of the
No, I didn't. Yeah, I thought the that first was, two episodes. I thought that was pretty dumb, but it did set up the kind of understanding that like the elves have completely just been like, this war's over, and like dip out of that city.
Yeah.
And then you very quickly realize like, nah, like the problem is here. Like the problem is very much in our backyard now. And so like I thought that was a very strong point of it. Plus it gives us like one of the best like suspenseful scenes in this show with mm-hmm. them like hiding out from the orc that is like in their home.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on,
a great scene.
I'm gonna read the synopsis for episode two now. Okay. So, like, they have a full picture of what we're kind of talking about. Swimming back to Middle Earth, Galadriel comes across a raft with human survivors of a shipwreck. They are attacked by a sea creature and only one survives, Halbrand of the Southlands, who explains that he is fleeing from orcs. He and Galadriel work together to survive a storm. Nori and Poppy keep the stranger's secret from the other Heartfoots and give him food and shelter. He does not speak their language, but use fireflies and apparent magic to indicate that he's searching for a constellation of stars that Nori does not recognize. Arondor investigates tunnels beneath Horden and is captured. So Arondor is the elf that is with the human lady.
Yeah.
Bronwyn returns to her own town, which is the human lady, Tir Harad, where an orc attacks her and Theo. Like, Theo is her son. They kill it and use its head as proof of danger to convince the rest of the town to leave. Gil-galad sends a half, sends a half-elf, Elrond, to assist the great elven smith, Celebrimbor, who is planning to build a powerful new forge. Elrond suggests they seek help from the dwarves and goes to his friend, Prince Doran IV, in Khazad-dûm. Doran is angry that Elrond has not visited in 20 years, but his wife, Dissa, convinces him to hear Elrond's proposal. Okay, yeah. So, I did really like the whole, I thought it moved super slowly for the first two episodes, but I did like where the orc kind of, like, attacks yeah. Bronwyn and Theo in their home, and then, like, they kill the fucking orc and finally convince the rest of the human village.
Yeah, she slams the orc on that dude's,
that they are very much in danger.
Yeah.
That was really cool. This whole, like, I don't know, the whole romance between, like, an elf.
Yeah, it was just kind of, like, forced. But it was not only just forced, it was, like, the second that you saw him, like, look at her, it was like, yeah, okay, like, they're gonna have this, like, romance thing, and it's yeah. gonna be not very nuanced or interesting, and I don't know, I liked where it kind of ended up in the second episode, but I could see where it would be very boring.
My biggest complaint about the entire like first episodes was just like the magical guy that comes out of the comet, that yes. is so far, that feels just so foreign to me from like the rest of Lord of the Rings.
How so? What do you mean?
I don't know. It just feels like, because like Lord of the Rings is like, I don't know.
Oh, you mean like it's not, it's so, it's such a big like grandiose thing.
Not really. It's just like, okay. I mean, for most of Lord of the Rings, it deals with like kind of traditional, like, you know, elves, dwarves, magic wizards, like very kind of like, Lord of the Rings is like one of the foundational kind of like high fiction works of literature, right? To have a guy crawl a fucking comet, like, is, I don't know. I guess
kind
like
of break some of that, like,
I'm probably being like
fantasy fiction type of thing.
Yeah, it seems really out of the ordinary, I guess, but I'm probably being like way too, like, you know, hard on for the original trilogy. And
well, then don't, Ryan.
Yeah, because like some
Jeff
crazy,
Bezos has his own thing going right
some
now.
Some crazy shit happens in the original trilogy where we could be yeah. like, oh, this is like has nothing to do with, you know, normal fantasy stuff, but
yeah,
it just seemed weird. Like, it probably won't be weird at the end when we find out, like,
100%, yeah,
who the guy is, where he came from, what he's up to.
I love how, like, you're kind of like jumping around who you think that's going to be, because you have a theory, and I've read a couple things on the internet that say, like, oh, maybe.
What, a theory of who the guy is going to be?
Yeah.
From out of the comment?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's right, though. I don't, like, the more I think about it, I don't think that theory is correct.
Because there's a lot of people who have said this, and it's almost to the point where it's like, it's too obvious.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's why I'm like, I don't think so at this point.
I could see it being, like, a forebearer. So my theory is that it's Gandalf.
Yeah.
Right. I could see it being, like, some ancestor of Gandalf. Like, maybe he is, like, the very first wizard of Middle-earth or some shit like that. Because we haven't seen a wizard.
No.
Right? We haven't seen someone like Gandalf or the guy who served Sauron in the Lord of the Rings. We haven't seen like that. So,
well, and I was reading something today because I was, like, looking it up, and Gandalf is, like, a part of this, like, group that kind of lives outside of Middle-earth or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they think, like, maybe it's one of them, because there's, like, four or five of those, like, groups of people.
Uh-huh.
And so it would make sense that, like, that's who that is. It's one of kind of the side people to Gandalf. But I just feel like it may be, and I'm going to stop saying Jeff Bezos, but, like, maybe Amazon and the writers would understand that, like, oh, we need to have a character like Gandalf in this to, like, mm-hmm. garner excitement, something like that. But then there's the flip side of that, where it's like, we don't want to lean so much on the original trilogy from Peter Jackson to where they would almost not want to have Gandalf be anywhere near this.
Yeah, how do you, like...
And so that's my thing, where I'm like, I really don't know.
I'd be 100% okay with them, like, not having Gandalf in it. But they like have to have a wizard. They just have to.
Yeah, I mean, I could see
this is not fucking Lord of the Rings. You don't have a wizard in it.
No, I could totally see them doing that.
Even he's clearly magical, some sort.
Yeah, 100%. Because he's literally, like, talking to fireflies and,
well, yeah,
like, and kills all the fireflies except for, like, one.
He survived a comet crash and, like, yeah, was doing shit, like, you know.
He was using the Force.
Yes, he was using the Force.
With fireflies. What would you give the first two episodes? Do you want to do, like, two together or one and one? Max Jindo head rating.
Yeah, let's go separate. So, okay. For the first episode, I give it a 4.75.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Jindo Max heads.
Okay.
For the second one, I'd say a 4.25.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a 3.75 to the first episode.
Jesus Christ, man.
And a 4.25 to the second episode.
Why so low on the first?
Like I said, it was just a lot of setup, which is understandable because it's the first episode of the season. And it really kind of does focus on the human lady and the elf that's in there.
Yeah.
And because I missed the first 15 minutes, so fuck them for putting so much in the first 15 minutes.
There was literally zero trailers, dude. It started at 7.
Oh, I know, yeah. I fucked that up. No, I think...
They fucked it up. We're not having... Like, this is the one time I... Why would you not have any trailers? Like,
because they don't ever do trailers for this kind of stuff. Like, if we went and saw the Fathom Events thing for Clerks 3, there's going to be no trailers for that.
There were trailers when we saw... And the Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, or whatever that dog shit movie was.
Was there?
Yeah, there 100% was.
I'm
pretty sure.
I don't think there was.
I don't know. There was.
No, because we had to sit in there and wait for people to, like, get in. They didn't show trailers before it.
You sure?
I'm 100% sure. All right. 99% sure. I'll change my score. 4.25 for the first episode and 4.5 for the second episode.
No, don't. I mean,
no, I really did enjoy both episodes a lot.
You really, really need to go watch, like, the
first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll do that during my planning period tomorrow. But no, I'm excited for the rest of the season. It's only 9 episodes, which I think is a weird episode count.
That is strange. Yeah.
So that's kind of odd to me, but I think a lot of people, even though some people are like review bombing it on IMDb, which is owned by Amazon, so you're a fucking idiot if you're gonna go like review bomb an Amazon show and knowingly gonna have that just be deleted from the thing.
Not gonna delete it. Okay.
They turned off comments for 72 hours and like, or like, and then they put a like review process in for 72 hours on any new reviews on IMDb.
For everything? Just for that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not cool.
Well, that's what happens when you pay basically close to $1 billion for...
FCC should have a say in that.
Yeah, well, it's Jeff Bezos, so...
Jeff
Bezos. I'm going to have to, like, mark this now, and...
Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett, amateurs can fucking suck it, fuck their wives, drink their blood. Come on, Jeff, get them!
In that song... now from Bo Burnham. I now have like a split right in the middle to put in that song. No, I think it's good. I'm very interested to see it. I think it's kind of proven some of the doubters wrong.
I will say a highly controversial statement though.
Oh God.
I am far more excited for Lord of the Ring or Ring of Power moving forward than I am House of Dragon.
Really?
100% yes.
Why?
This is just so much more fun, dude.
Like, okay, well,
it's doing fun new shit, and
this
like,
is a good segue.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna just prep. I'm literally not even gonna like say we're going to the Game of Thrones. We're going to the Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot explain to you how much I dislike these time jumps in House of the Dragon.
I was gonna say something about that. Yeah,
I can't. It's not lazy. It's almost adding more work for yourself from the writer's perspective. For each episode to have to basically have some character or multiple characters establish how much time has passed to where you are wasting time in your show basically telling the audience.
Not only that,
hey, it's been like, 2 months or 2 years.
You even had one of the showrunners in their little like inside the Game of Thrones commentary talk about how, hey, we just need the audience to like pay attention, go along with us.
Right? I was like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, I didn't understand what the fuck he was saying. I just think that is, and again, don't have the greatest memory right now, or like, of all the different shows and movies we watch.
Right.
But I do not remember any season, I don't even remember any show really that I've ever watched that has had that many time jumps in one season. And we've had a time jump between every episode of this show. That to me doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I feel like there probably is something out there that has had as many time jumps or whatever, but I mean, yeah, it's definitely jarring and like doesn't allow for a lot of like continuity in the storytelling, right? Because like it really feels like every episode is kind of its own thing. And then, you know, like, there's obviously so much happening in between each episode that they just aren't exploring at all. And basically relying on the audience's intuition to say, like, we're going to give you a few pieces of dialogue and exposition, and you just work out what happened in the 2 to 3 years in between these episodes.
Which, like, the two biggest examples of that for me are Rhaenyra and Sir Christian Cole, where all of a sudden they're supposed to be, like, best of friends, and they have this, like, deep relationship. And literally the only thing that you're supposed to go off with that is, like, oh, she's, like, or he's, you know, protected her for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Show me.
Like, right.
Derek, I understand that, like, you need to have some intuition or you need to be able to, like, read into things and whatever. But that is what Game of Thrones was amazing with, was there was build up to those moments and you took the time to show those relationships being built.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just, oh, hey, by the way, we jumped 2 years. Those guys have 2 years of relationship. Believe it.
Right.
It doesn't compute. It doesn't work. In this, like, format, that's something that I'm very much not really enjoying with this right now. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, the rest of the show, like, I really, really, really like.
Yeah,
because the actors in it are amazing.
That is, like, definitely a criticism that I share with you. Another one is, like, and I've talked about this in the last episode, like, they're just focusing so much on their, like, core three characters that it is so just one-dimensional. It is just purely one-dimensional on King Viserys, Princess Rhaenyra, and I guess Prince Daemon, where the fuck his title is. Like, that's all. Yeah, that's all it is. Like, it's just one family, those characters, and then everyone else is just like a sideshow to, like, advance that storyline. Like, yeah, you have the sea snake, or the fuck his name is.
Lord Corlys.
The black dude with the blonde dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You have him, but, like, he doesn't really have his own storyline. He just, like, in whatever story, part of his story we see is just in support of these other characters. You have the Hand of the King, who has been very, very minor in this episode.
Hightower.
You have the King's new wife, who is, again, very, very, like, she's basically only there to, I mean, which, I guess, is somewhat accurate in royal history or whatever, but she's basically only there for the babies. Like, there is nothing else there. But when you,
with the most realistic baby bump I've ever seen in television.
Totally.
Yeah.
The reason Game of Thrones was so good, and the reason, like, you could spend an entire season in, like, a 5-day or, like, very minimal, like, timeline, is because they delve so deeply into all of the characters.
Yeah.
Like, you had Ned Stark, you had Jon Snow, you had fucking Joffrey and his mom, and, like, you had all these characters and all this, like, depth of story. And in this, it's just like, you got these three characters, they're all the same basic fucking family, and they're all basically doing the same fucking thing. Let's all, like, focus in on all the bullshit in between them.
Well, and did you realize Matt Smith, or Prince Daemon, played by Matt Smith, didn't say a word this episode?
Did he not? Wait.
He didn't say a single word.
Well, I mean, his performance is still, like, probably the best of the episode, though. You're definitely
either
right.
Said nothing, or he said, like, one line when he, like, got off his dragon.
Which I don't think should automatically be a criticism.
No, but I'm just saying, like, when you are focusing in on all of these characters, and then you basically put the one of the three that you have as your main focus is basically just, like, shunted off to the last, like, 10 to 15 minutes, which is the best 10 to 15 minutes of the entire episode. Like, it is a weird choice from the screenwriters and the director of this show to do that with what is arguably your best actor. Patty Considine and I think his name is Millie Alcock would have something to say about that. But Matt Smith is at least your top two, top three, like, best actor.
He's the best. You know, in my mind, he's the best one on the show. Okay, I'm going to give the synopsis for episode 3 real quick.
Of what show? We haven't said the name of the show.
Oh, right. Everyone knows what we're talking about, though. House of the Dragon, episode 3, second of his name is the title of the episode. For 3 years, the conflicts in the Stepstones region have significantly escalated. Lord Corlys and Prince Daemon battle Kragas Drahar and his pirates without support from the crown, which remains neutral regarding the Southern Realm situation. King Viserys plans a great hunt to celebrate his and his pregnant queen Alicent's son Aegon's second birthday. Rhaenyra resents the attention of her father continually heaped on Aegon. Their relationship is further strained by Viserys' insistence that Rhaenyra must marry to form a strong alliance and protect her lineage. One suitor, Lord Jason Lannister of Casterly Rock, is eager to wed Rhaenyra, though she is uninterested. Lord Strong recommends that Rhaenyra wed Sir Laenor Valyrian, Lord Corley's son, repairing the rift between their two houses. On his brother's advice, Otto Hightower urges Alicent to persuade the king to name Aegon as heir, furthering the Hightower's power and prestige. The king tells Rhaenyra she can choose her own husband. The king also sends aid to Daemon in the Stepstones. Meanwhile, Lord Corlys, his brother Vaemon, and Daemon, accompanied by House Valyrian soldiers, fight a losing battle against the Triarchy warriors. Sir Laenor, riding his dragon Sea Smoke, appears and helps defeat the Triarchy warriors. Daemon kills the crab feeder. Okay, well, that answers our question.
Spoilers.
Sir Laenor, Laenor is the one riding the dragon during the battle at the end of the episode.
Oh, interesting.
Which I don't know who the fuck that is.
That's Lord Corlys' son.
So, okay,
that's one that that's the one that they want to like marry off to Rhaenyra's.
Right, right, right. So he was the one who was bitching with his uncle.
Yeah.
At the
But camp. That makes that then sound like Alison Hightower is basically going against her dad's wishes, because Otto Hightower wants her to kind of push towards making Aegon the rightful heir, but she's basically going to the king and saying, like, let's make, like, really kind of fighting more for Rhaenyra's to be able to, like, pick who she marries. Which leads the king to basically say, like, you're still my heir to Rhaenyra's. So she's not really pushing to have her son be the king. Like, she's more worried about her friend that or the person that used to be her friend. She still wants to be her friend with Rhaenyra's. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic for the rest of the year, or the rest of the season, where Alicent really does care about Rhaenyra's, but Rhaenyra's is still pissed at her. She boned her dad.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Well,
understandably.
Actually, not rightfully so. Like, I think maybe, I think, yeah, Rhaenyra is kind of being a little bitch in this episode. Let's be honest.
We're going to fundamentally disagree on this, but
when the king, like, just declares that he's going to marry you, like, what the fuck is Alice, like, what is she supposed to do, right?
But Alison was, like, legitimately working towards that. Like,
but at her father's behest, not, yeah, like, but like, and on
this
her
is,
own
this
accord.
Is where this is interesting. This is where, like, this is the Game of Thrones aspect of it comes in. It seemed like Alison didn't really mind it. Like, she didn't come on to it like, hey, I want to fuck you. She went into it and, like, was herself and, like, was kind of going towards some of the interests that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it became like a true relationship. But then Rhaenyra's very rightly saw that as, I've just been named like heir to the throne, and now all of a sudden like my best friend is about to like bone my dad. Now there's a possibility that like there's going to be somebody that supplants my rightful turn for the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a betrayal, and rightfully so, they have a son, and that's where the time jump comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Where now there's a son, and she's pissed off because it's not like a automatic, oh, this is the heir to the throne. Viserys, is that's the name of the king?
Yeah.
King Viserys basically has to name his son as the heir. So, like, it's still kind of up in the air about who is going to be the heir to the throne.
I think it is. Like, he made it pretty definitive. No, but,
what are you saying at the end of the episode?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Up until that point,
right, yeah,
he
up until
had
that,
not made it clear.
Yeah, up until that point. But then he, like, clearly says, on your mother's grave, like, you will not be supplanted as heir to the throne.
Which,
we'll see.
This is Game of Thrones. That's not set in stone.
For sure. Not
so,
at all.
No, I think she has every right to be kind of upset about it. And you kind of already pointed it out, they very clearly painted in the about Game of Thrones section of the episode at the end with the documentary that they always do. Like, we focus on these, and like each one of these like characters is like coming out of childhood basically, and it's like,
yeah, right.
And so, you know, she kind of comes out of childhood. She kills a boar. She stabs the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of see some growth from her of like kind of realizing like what's happened. And then at the end of it, after King Viserys very much has like a breakdown drunkenly, goes back to her and is just basically like, on the advice of Alicent, you can marry whoever the hell you want. Like, you're still the heir. Like, none of that has changed.
Yeah, and it is a good like reminder of like, hey, you are the heir. Like, just try to act accordingly, you know, like, you know, because that's what I'm saying. She's like, be kind of like a prissy little bitch the whole episode. She's just like whiny.
No, she's pissed off.
Yeah, she's a little pissy about like her situation. You know, and she's not acting like the heir to the throne.
True. Yeah. No, and again, maybe more of that in the 2 years that you could have seen.
Yeah.
Would have added more context to that.
There's probably, like, many details and situations that have led up to this attitude from her.
Where like everybody's like, oh, your brother's been born. Now he's going to be the heir. He's going to be the heir. He's going to be the heir. So it'd make more sense. But we just don't see any of that.
Right. It's completely lost on us. Which I do think it is a significant mistake by the showrunners to, you know, kind of structure the show this way.
Yeah.
It would have been far better if, like, you know, just say you're going to do 4 or 5 seasons, and I would be perfectly okay if they had done like part one of season one, like all in the same like time frame, and then part two, like jump whatever fucking time you need to, right? Like either 3 years, 5 years, whatever. Instead of like doing it every episode is, I think, not congruent to it's good storytelling. Almost.
Like it just kind of sets you off kilter at the very beginning of it, to where you're like, okay, because now it's not. It'd almost be better if it was like, hey, every episode we're gonna jump 6 months. Just understand. After this episode, it's gonna jump 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've had 3 episodes. Now it's been 6 months. Now it's been 2 years between episodes.
Yeah, we don't even know. Like next episode, are we gonna be? It's gonna be a jump of 3 years. It's gonna be like a week. We have no expectation for what's gonna happen.
It's gonna be some time because and
this is like really bad because like it really makes you like you really have to. It makes it hard to follow, and it forces you to kind of like construct a timeline in your head of what is happening instead of it flowing naturally from episode to episode.
Yeah, which is so stupid. But like
imagine taking, if we didn't watch it every Monday, like imagine going, I don't know, like you don't watch you take like a 4 week break between episode 2 and episode 3, you'd be fucking lost. You'd be like, am I on the right episode? Like what's happening here?
Oh yeah, I guess. And you basically just like picked up back where you were, and it's like, wait, what the hell?
We
just especially when they change actors,
like straight up, because at the end of episode 2 they weren't even married yet. You pick up in episode 3 and they already have a 2-year-old child and she's expecting like another.
Well, like, but what I'm saying is like, imagine when they switch actresses for Allison and Rhaenyra's.
You wouldn't know you're watching the same fucking show.
If you just like picked back up there and you're like, wait, what the hell is going on?
Right.
That would be insane. But no,
I also have to think like the majority of people who are watching this show don't follow it religiously on Twitter or haven't seen every fucking frame of the trailer. Like you really would have no idea that you're expecting them to change actors and actresses for a few of the main characters, right?
True. But even with that, like, you know, with the preview that they did, they're gonna have, because like in the preview that they had for the next episode, it's literally Matt Smith with shorter hair,
right?
And so it's like, we know there's a time jump, like there's something that happens. There's a massive time jump here, but it's not big enough to where they've switched actresses. So like that's going to be the big tell, is when they show the preview for the next episode and they have completely different actresses for probably episode 5 or 6.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when exactly they change it.
Probably, I bet episode 5, because that'll be the midway point
maybe
of the season. Wait, no. Sorry, that's Lord of the Rings. Probably episode 6.
So there are 10.
There's 10 for this.
I think it's going to be 6, because like if you read the name of the episodes, so 4 to 10, it goes King of the Narrow Sea, We Light the Way, The Princess and the Queen, which I think is when they'll change it, Driftmark, The Lord of the Tides, The Green Council, and The Black Queen.
The last episode is called The Black Queen.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Okay. So that means she becomes queen.
Rhaenyra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She becomes queen. So Patty Considine dies and she becomes queen.
Probably. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. Like I said, I just find, comparing the first 2 episodes of Lord of the Rings to the first 3 episodes of the House of the Dragon, like I just, like, baseline excitement level is higher, you know, looking ahead to the Ring of the Power.
We haven't even talked about the battle scene at the end.
That is the only thing redeeming this fucking show for me at this point, is the fact that we have dragons, like, on, you know, killing sprees in each episode, and there was, like, a comparable battle scene to the legendary Jon Snow battle scene that took place in this episode with Daemon.
I thought the ending of this episode with that battle scene was incredible. But also, this is where the time constraints come in. You've built up through basically 2.5 episodes of this crab feeder guy. And then, like, spoilers, don't even show him get, like, murdered.
Yeah, just show, like, him get, see his body sliced in half.
Yeah.
And his torso dragged through the mud.
But Matt Smith just going on an absolute, like,
he basically went Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman, whatever it was.
1984?
No, the first one.
It was called Wonder Woman.
Where she goes, like, No Man Land.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing.
That is a good comparison. That's almost like a one-to-one, basically.
It's really, yeah, really close.
No, I thought that was one of the coolest scenes of the show so far. But, like, I really have enjoyed this show. Like, I'm stoked for it every week. It's just the time jumps are really kind of, like, throwing me off. And I don't think it's great for the storytelling aspect of this show, so.
Right, yeah.
Cool.
Cool talk, bro.
What would you give episode 3? Of House of the Dragon.
Out of the Jindo Max Head scale?
Out of the Max Jindo Head rating.
I think I would give it 4.0 Jindo Max Heads.
All right, I'll give it a 4.25.
Okay.
On the Max Jindo Head rating. Even we're though we just bitched about it for
minutes. Like, it would have been a 2 if it hadn't been for the Prince Daemon
Dragon
Suicide Squad run.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it. I'm excited for it every single week. But some of it's just been like, I don't know why the hell you guys are doing this. So we'll see what happens with all of it, Ryan.
Cool.
You have fun today, Rye?
So much fun.
So much.
I always have fun with you, buddy.
On this Memorial Labor Day.
Yeah.
It's Labor Day for people who didn't know what day this is.
What day is it?
Wait. It's Memorial Day? All
right, perfect.
Okay, cool.
Memorial Day, Labor Day. So, everybody, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. We'll be back next... Well, let's do this live. I need to tell Ryan about this.
Okay.
Next Monday night, I have... I think Pooh Bear. Crap, what's it called?
You have a...
Parent-teacher night, basically.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. That's at 6.
Okay.
I can come over right after...
Okay.
I don't know. I think I'll be done at like 7.
Okay.
Yeah. What's next Monday? Oh, Butthole Pirates. All right. Well, we'll talk about this off show.
Okay.
This has gotten complicated now.
Okay. We'll talk.
Yeah. So we'll figure this out. But everybody, thank you for checking out this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, follow us on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks and on Twitter at Furloughed Film, or even on YouTube at Furloughed Film Talks. But always, as always, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk with you next time.
Adios, amigos.